Trump readies a chainsaw to shred Wall Street regulations. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. A top White House economic advisor says President Trump is set to scale back major financial regulations put in place after the financial crisis. A Wall Street Journal report says moves are coming later today. Marketplace's Rima Kreis is with us live to explain. Rima, Dodd-Frank is a prime target here. What is Trump looking to change there?
Well, just as a refresher, the law puts a lot of regulations in place to help make sure the financial crisis doesn't happen again. So it toughened capital requirements for banks, it set up powerful regulators, and it created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That said, Trump and many Republicans, they've described the law as this negative force in the economy. They argue the regulations are just too sweeping, that it's too hard for banks to lend, too hard for consumers to make choices. So Trump's executive order is meant to direct the Treasury Department to come up with revised rules. And it could lead to more orders later on that would impact the way government manages big financial firms. You know, any changes, I'm sure, will face pushback from Democrats who've pushed for a while now for tighter regulations to help prevent abuse and protect average consumers, or rather, investors.
Sure. And there's also the fiduciary rule, which involves what kind of retirement advice people get. Remind us what's going on there and how that might change under Trump.
Right. This rule is set to go into effect in April, and it'd restrict the kind of retirement advice brokers can give their clients. It forced them to put their clients' interests ahead of other things like their own compensation or company profits. But the administration and many Republicans argued that it's just bad for consumers, that the rule would make it harder for people to get retirement advice. Gary Cohn, the top White House advisor, told the Wall Street Journal the rule limits consumer choice.
Okay, Marketplace's Rima Kreis, thanks very much, and let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading ahead of the U.S. jobs numbers release. In the U.K., shares are up 0.5%. In Germany, shares are up 0.3%. Asian markets closed mostly down. Security technology is evolving, but identity fraud keeps growing, striking more than 15 million consumers, according to a Javelin Research and Strategy report. Marketplace's Adam Allington explains.
During the past couple of years, most consumers have gotten a credit card with one of those special embedded chips. You know the drill. You swipe your card, and then the cashier tells you to dip, not swipe. Anyway, weren't those chips supposed to make it harder for fraud to take place?
The security measures work as well as they were designed, but they only go so far.
Sean McQuay at NerdWallet says, yes, those chips do make it harder for your card info to be stolen in the store, but...
So anytime you're using your credit card and swiping it, maybe at the grocery store that hasn't upgraded yet, or using that same card online, your payment data is just as easy to steal as it was 2 years ago.
While a chip card is more secure, personal data is still exposed in other ways. Stephen Coggeshell is chief analytics officer at LifeLock, a company that sells ID protection.
But also as breaches happen, your personal information continues to get out there. And that's what fraudsters need in order to open up a new account.
Coggeshell says even as the rate of fraud continues to grow, the dollar loss per fraud is going down. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
You don't look like you're from around here.
This is Budweiser's Super Bowl ad this year. It tells the story of the brewery's co-founder, Adolphus Busch, German immigrant to America.
I want to brew a beer.
Welcome to America.
It's got all the elements of a big-budget Super Bowl ad meant to stir emotions, but this year, the immigration theme puts it squarely into the hottest political debate of the moment, President Trump's order suspending immigration from 7 majority Muslim countries. And Bud is hardly the only company bracing for political flack. Let's talk about all this with E.J. Schultz, Chicago bureau chief at Advertising Age. Good morning, E.J.
Good morning.
So first, ads like this, they take time to make, so it's not like they put this together since the immigration order. And the parent company, Anheuser-Busch InBev, says beer is bipartisan. They're not trying to be political. But the reality is tens of millions of people are going to take it that way Sunday. You can see they're actually fighting it out as we speak in the comments section of YouTube where the ad's already posted. What is the risk to Budweiser of having this kind of ad in this current political climate?
Well, you always want to be careful as an advertiser not to look like you're taking any sides. I mean, everyone is a consumer, right, no matter what their political persuasion. The message that they're really trying to hammer home is one that a lot of brands have done in recent years, and that's to tell the true story of how the brand came to be. And so, you know, the ad is meant to then tell that story, but then also try to make it current by plugging into this idea of, you know, a hardworking immigrant coming to the United States to start a company, overcoming obstacles, pursuing his dream. Those are the themes that Budweiser says it really wants to hit on. But the fact is, this is a, you know, a major conversation right now going on in society. And I think they're probably aware of that when they continue to go forward with the ad.
Now, this is a bigger issue than Budweiser. And in the past, advertisers have had to deal with striking the right balance after 9/11 or during the financial crisis. What do you think is different now for advertisers as far as the challenges they face in the Trump era?
I feel like almost everything is political now, right? Whether intended or not, people are so quick to jump on anything. Advertisers are having to decide whether or not to respond overtly to whatever criticism they find. And the risk there is that they then fuel the controversy, right? Or if you sit back and let something play out, lots of times these issues tend to go away after 24, 48 hours. Unless it's something egregious and it's something that the company has actually done wrong, right, rather than just an ad being interpreted in a certain way.
EJ Schultz with Ad Age, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, Snapchat's owner is ready for its IPO. Newly released documents show Snap has everything Wall Street expects in a young tech company: growing users, growing revenue, and of course, hundreds of millions of dollars in losses. The IPO could value the company at more than $20 billion. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.